Welcome to Local Hits. I'm Ben Albert of the Rochester Business Connections Network. Local Hits is where I rebroadcast some of the absolute best podcasts from the region, full episodes in their entirety. This way, you can gain more value from other leaders in the community, other voices in the community. Today, we listen to an episode of the WNY Entrepreneur Podcast with David Schaub, Uninterrupted. This episode is entitled Where Local Businesses Get It Wrong with Brandon Wilson. I encourage you to subscribe to the Rochester Business Connections Network if you haven't yet. And when you're finished with that, check out the show notes and subscribe to, of course, the WNY Entrepreneur Podcast. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Western New York Entrepreneur Podcast, helping Western New York entrepreneurs take the next step in their business. If you love Western New York and entrepreneurship, this is the podcast for you. Whether you have been in business for 20 years or 20 minutes, there is something for everyone. David Schaub interviews the top entrepreneurs in Western New York so you can take your next step in your own business.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode. I appreciate you joining us as always. Before I dive into today's guest, I just want to let you guys know that, hey, if you have not signed up for our email list or our subscribers list on our website, check it out. All you have to do is go to WNYentrepreneur.com and you can just click the subscribe button. And if you want to check out our membership, members are always taken care of first. What I mean by that is if you want to sponsor one of our events, good luck if you're not a member. If you want a VIP ticket to any of our events, good luck. If you want free tickets to all of our, again, all of our general admission tickets to our normal events, you should probably become a member. It's $20 a month, and they're always taken care of first. And for those who are a member, thank you so much for being on this journey with us. We just appreciate you, and we hope you feel taken care of. So anyways, let's dive into today's guest. Brandon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you. It was really great meeting you, I would say, almost a month ago because we're booked.
Yeah, it was like a month ago. Yeah.
4 or 5 weeks ago. But so we have Brandon Wilson. Brandon, for those who don't know, like, your background, who you are, someone introduced us, which is really cool. Tell us your company, which is Brandon Wilson Creative, if I'm saying that correctly.
You got it. Yep.
And tell us really your journey of entrepreneurship, what you do, and how to where you are today, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's probably a short story. So I'm a designer, right? And my focus is in the digital space. I've been a creative person my whole life. And it wasn't until I started working at a local agency here in Buffalo that I really started to connect and learn a lot from just meeting all these different business owners in Buffalo. And obviously they came in for like logos and brand identity and websites and all the stuff that I would work on. But I really fell in love with just like the client side. I loved meeting people. You never knew who came through the door with a really cool idea. And I don't know, over time, I think in the back of my head, I kind of got a little jealous that these people are doing something that they want to do. And it's their life. You only have one chance to do this stuff. So it's like, you can work for someone or you could work for yourself. And I don't know, after years and years and years of working for people and then meeting people that are running their own business, I just, you know, it's like, man, I think I can do this on my own. It'll be a lot of learning. As a creative person, we don't get much training. We don't get business classes. We just kind of learn our craft and then go out in the wild and learn. So today, here I am, like, on my own, and I'm learning everything. I'm learning through mistakes, through wins, and all that stuff. So, but yeah, that's why I'm doing this right now. That's why I created Brandon Wilson Creative. Not the most creative name, but it's because I just want people to know my name.
You know, one thing I've realized, too, at least in, you know, today's world, I feel like people are trusting more of the person versus, like, a logo, right? Or a billboard with just saying, hey, we're great at customer service, call ABC Roofing, right? When there's a name attached to it, it almost, to me, it seems like, okay, this person's willing to put their name, especially their last name, out on the limb, or their, you know, their, what's the word I'm trying to think of here? Like, they're just like willing to put their name or stamp on it. Because, you know, even if your business isn't there anymore, your name is still there.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? No, I get that. And being a creative person, it's hard for somebody to trust a creative person because you just don't know what you're going to get. A lot of the stuff that we make as designers is subjective, right? It could be amazing to somebody, and then somebody else may think it looks lame, right? They hate the color, they hate the look, whatever. But the thing is that when you work with like an agency or a team that you might meet like the project owner, the project manager or the account manager, you're not really meeting the people who are actually going to touch your assets, people who are really going to craft the thing that they need, like it's a website. And I like the idea of just removing the middle people, the business people. I'll put the business cap on because I'm here in front of the business owner talking about the problem. What are we going to do together? What can I do? I am here to help. I'm passionate. I'm talented. Mm-hmm. And I really want the best for both of us. Mm-hmm. And it's just me. I'm going to be the guy who's going to go and do the work. I might outsource it to like a developer or mm-hmm. a copywriter. But overall, the art direction and the production, I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And I thought that it was just, for me, where I was in my place in my career. But I just wanted to let the person know that the person that you're talking to right now is the person who's going to do the work. And it's not like I'm going to go and hand it off to somebody else. I think that kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. I think you want the person that you're talking to and you're like sharing like not secrets, but like behind the scenes about your process and what you're trying to do. And then like, thank you. And then they go and hand it off to somebody else. It's like, there's a disconnect. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been there. I know, and it's not going to help the project. So I think it's better, at least for me, the way I work, I have my process and I just build like that rapport, and I truly, truly want to help the person that's talking to me. So that's it. That's why I do it. And that's why I put my name on the business, because it's just like Brandon Wilson. I don't know how many Brandon Wilsons are designers in Buffalo, but I hope it's easy to remember and they kind of know.
Is. I think it's kind of a catchy name. It almost sounds like a pop singer.
Oh, you know, wow. Yeah.
Brandon Wilson. Yeah. Sing with us, Brandon. But hey, man, I know one thing I really noticed about you is that you were a huge, like, I guess I'll use the word fanatic for branding. So mm-hmm. when people hear branding or a brand, there's a lot of different loops we can go through. There's a lot of different things we can go. So in your opinion, Brandon, what is a brand and why should businesses even care?
Oh, so it's funny because I think today, more than ever, everybody's getting comfortable with the idea of self-branding. So I think we're talking about the word branding in general more than ever before. And which is great. And with that, a lot of people just don't know a lot about what comes with it. So obviously there's the visual side of a brand, right? Logos, colors, you know, the song that plays when the logo shows up at the end of your commercial and all that stuff. Like, these are all the things that are like the visual and audio part of your brand, which is great. One of the things I think a lot of people forget though, is that your brand is actually something that you share with your audience. So it's like a reputation, right? I've also heard that like your brand is like the gut feeling that someone has when they hear or see your brand, right? So if I say like Star Wars, like, right? Maybe you're not a Star Wars fan and you're like, okay, nerdy stuff, that's like geeky stuff, that's like whatever. But to me, where do I even start with? Is it the logo? Is it the sound of a lightsaber? Is it the fans who cry at the end of like, you know, like the last Star Wars movie? And we've seen like with Disney, when they first got the Star Wars brand, they started making these movies and some fans were about it and some fans weren't. The reason why I bring this up is because Disney learned real quick that they have to share this brand with the fans. Because if you don't have the fans and nobody's buying it or sharing it and talking about it and praising it and wearing the costumes or whatever, then it's not really there and it's just yours. And it's like, well, what are you going to do with a logo and a website and nobody cares about? So my big thing is that for business owners and designers and everybody in marketing is to understand that there's two sides of a brand. Those who create it and curate it, right? Coming up with the logo and all that stuff and the colors. But there's also the people. Hey, that's a really good customer service experience. Hey, you know, whatever. And they go around sharing it and telling people and promoting it. Like, if you really like something, you're probably going to tell somebody. Especially somebody that probably could benefit from it, right? So to me, it's very important to understand that you share your brand with your audience or your target customer. Mm-hmm. So that's just where I am. And so that's why when I approach business owners or when we work together, I just make sure that we understand that. Mm-hmm. Like, I really want you to have this, but we also are doing this for these people, right, in the market. So what can we do? It's theirs. Mm-hmm. It's their, you're giving them the solution. So let's share it together. So mm-hmm. I'm just really big on customer service, mm-hmm. trying to avoid hacks. A lot of people try to hack things and like, oh, just whatever. Like, that's not really going to work. Let's really try to help these people.
Yeah. So when I think of like, okay, we built this brand. So to me, I'll make a joke. I forgot where I got this from, but someone says, hey, you build a website, but it's almost like a billboard in the middle of the desert. If no one visits it or sees it. So I feel like where my brain always goes is, okay, even if we build an amazing brand, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I have a question that follows up with this. So for me, when I'm like, okay, we have a brand, we have a cool logo, we have like this vision. What is the best way to share it? How do we do this? And another way to ask this, Brandon, is like, what can businesses do to stand out from their competition? Because there's so much competition
today. Oh, man. That is, I mean, there's no answer to that, right? Mm-hmm. Every time you... Everyone's different. Mm-hmm. The day is different. The market's different. The competition's different. Everybody has their own internal way of doing things. The one thing I think the easiest thing is to pretend that, all right, you have your ideal customer in front of you. And you know, you have your 30-second elevator pitch. You know exactly what to say. You say it all the time. But what if somebody sitting right next to you did the same thing, offered the same, everything was pretty much the same. Mm-hmm. What can you tell me that makes you different from the person sitting next to you, right? So, I mean, we see this all the time. Nike, Reebok, right? McDonald's, Burger King. Pretty much offering the same thing, but there are differences. What are those differences? You know, mm-hmm. So I think that is the key, is to say, what is it that really makes us different? Is it our customer service? Is it our warranties? Is it our onboarding process? Is it how long it takes us to do it versus our competition? Once you can identify what truly makes you different from somebody else, I think you own it. And then you just look at your personality, right? Do you do it in a fun way? Do you do it in a serious way? Is there emotion attached to this, or is it very sterile? And then those things help the designer, somebody like me, go into a room and come out with a couple ideas of where we could take this. So that's just kind of how I see, you know, and then some people need a wow factor. Some people don't. Like, I'm a big believer that there's too many people automating things, and they're just looking at the trends and just kind of like, okay, we need a website, we need SEO, we need to do like an email capture, we need to put a pop-up on these things. I'm like, yes, I mean, those probably will help, not all the time. But if you really, really stopped and made something really awesome that really articulated why you're different, you'll wow them. And they're like, man, that is so, I understand exactly what they're telling me. And that's it, the wow factor. And it's really hard to get that wow factor. And it doesn't have to be like I don't know, I watch too many movies.
It doesn't have to be fireworks or something. But
yeah,
like,
it doesn't have to be like, yeah, wow, Avengers was amazing. Because you could have a very good, simple indie movie that has a wow factor. It's just like, what is the thing that somebody goes, man, that is, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I want it.
Yeah, because I know so many people go like, well, I have, in fact, let me just turn it over to our audience, to you. I'm talking to you. So for you, what did Brandon just say that kind of, like me, I was thinking, okay, what makes this business different from this business? So you might be like, well, Dave, I'm just like a heating and cooling. Like, I'm not going to have fireworks go off in someone's house when we arrived to let them know that we're there. Like, how do we make it different? But he makes a good point. McDonald's, Burger King, right? Like Domino's and Little Caesars Pizza, right? Like, what makes them different, unique? So what in your business can you brand that makes yours different? And one thing I can't stand, Brandon, is like, not stand, I'm sorry, that's not fair. I hear it all over. Well, our customer service, everyone says that. So we got to be way more specific.
But what does that mean,
that,
though? Because if I go on your Facebook and I see people asking questions and you're not answering, what is your customer service? Is it me calling on the phone and Sally picks up and like tells me to hold and then takes my, you know, my appointment? When I'm saying like customer service, it's when somebody has an issue or doesn't understand what to do and they're asking you. There's many ways somebody could do that. They can email you. Mm-hmm. They could go on your Facebook. They could go on LinkedIn. They could call you up. They could go to your office. How are you handling that exchange?
Well, you know, that's such a good point. Like, so like, well, how do I brand customer service? How many people can relate to problem A, B, or C? Maybe an example. I'll use the heating, cooling, HVAC. Even though I don't own that, it's not my feel like we completely wrong. But I'm sitting here going, how many people call and they don't show up, or they don't answer, or they feel like they have to get 6 days when they have a problem now. My AC broke. It's 95 degrees outside. Maybe instead of branding your logo and say, we've been around for 25 years and we have the best technicians. No one cares. Everyone's seen that. So instead of that, it's like answering maybe a quick 30-second thing of a lady calling, like, oh, we can get to you in like 48, you know, in 3 or 4 days. And she calls, picks up the phone. Hey, we can get you right in today. We'll arrive at this time and we'll have this. And it just shows it. I think, am I on the right track here, Brandon?
No, you're absolutely right. No, yeah, you're absolutely right. That is exactly the thing. Because like, dude, what you just said it kind of is why I do what I do. When I sit down with somebody, I'm like, hey, you know, give me three reasons, or give me three descriptions about your business. Just explain it to me. And they always say kind of like the most generic things. And that's fine. Like, that's okay. It's hard to talk about yourself. Mm-hmm. And you think, like, oh, we're the best at this. That's subjective. Mm-hmm. I actually snooped around and I looked at your Facebook and your LinkedIn, and mm-hmm. I saw how your people are kind of saying things. Like, I saw your 3.5 out of 5 rating and stuff. Like, clearly you're not the best. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. Like, let's learn more about what makes you different. And then I think after, like, if I ask that question early, though, mm-hmm. like, people just say the more generic things. But I think if after my series of questions in our discovery call, when I first meet them, I kind of get them thinking the way I'm thinking, and then it's easier for them to answer those questions later on. I just don't want to hear generic stuff. We're the best.
Hi, my name is Laura Bernadoni, and I have been helping businesses with their payroll and HR needs for over 20 years. Paychex makes it simple for businesses of all sizes to pay and manage their employees. We handle their benefits programs. We guide them through human resource challenges. We keep them up to date with ever-changing laws and regulations, and we do it all in the way our customers want. Online or mobile, over the phone, in person, or a combination of the above. At Paychex, we work the way you want to work. To learn more, contact me at 716-308-3474. Thank you.
Yeah, and actually that leads me to my next question, Brandon. Like, I think this is really good because some people I know are more conservative, where I'm like more aggressive. I'm like, hey, like, let's be loud. Like, let's be creative.
Yeah, love it. Yeah.
Let's go for it, right? Where yep. some people are like, I don't, you know, I'm more relaxed.
High risk, high reward. I mean.
Yeah, I get it. But there's also, you know, high risk, you know, high failure rate, right? Whatever. So my point is, how do you balance? Like, how does a business owner here in Western New York balance risk and efficiencies when dealing with these creatives? Like, yep. you know, branding and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, I think you get what you pay for. So that's kind of like a rule I think anybody can relate to, even in your own business. Like, I think we all understand, like, I kind of got what I paid for. Yes, there's a lot of people out there who can say they can do what, you know, anybody can say they do logos or websites. And there are a lot of people who say it. And they some of them can, some of them can't. I think when it comes to risk versus efficiencies is... one, understand your budget, understand your timeline, right? If you have all the time and you actually have some extra cash, you have the opportunity to do something that may not work, opposed to somebody who's desperate, right? And they're like, what am I going to do? So it's like either, and then again, you got to have the conversation. Do we go for it or do we play it safe and hope that we get out of this, you know? So like I don't want to get controversial, but like when you looked at Nike with the Kaepernick thing, at first, I was like, why did they do this? Mm-hmm. Why would they do this? And now I look back at them and says, wow, that really differentiated them from anyone else that makes sneakers, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. So that was a big risk. They did lose money. I know there's a lot of people that got upset, but they also got trust for people probably for life for that thing mm-hmm. like that. And that was a conversation they had to have. So on a smaller scale, like if we're looking at Western New York and you're a local business, what are some things you could do? I mean... you could play it safe with your website. You could go to Wix. You could pick a template and all that stuff. But I'm sure other people have done that too. Mm-hmm. So you just look like everybody else. And maybe that template isn't really made for your business. So people, it's a clunky experience to kind of buy or learn or contact. So maybe you need to spend the extra money and get somebody crafting a proper user experience from beginning to end, from how do they find us, learn about us, engage with us, and then purchase or sign up or whatever. Like that, I think, is where it's a little bit riskier because you're not just going the safe route of using Wix with a template or Squarespace with a template mm-hmm. that's for like $100 a year. Mm-hmm. You might have to spend $10,000, $30,000, $100,000 mm-hmm. getting this stuff figured out, depending on, you know, the scale of the project and all stuff. But I think that's what people have to have that conversation is just what is really important here is this helping our customer? Is this a disservice that we just went the cheap route with the website? I mean, it works and it's showing up on Google and all this stuff, but like, are your conversions working? You know, are people really engaging? Are they coming back? What's the mobile experience? So I think it's tough in the digital space. There's a lot of touch points that people can have with your business nowadays, but like, I think a website is a pretty easy one that a lot of people understand. It's a great marketing tool. Just don't go too cheap. I understand it's not, especially when you're starting on a business, you only have so much money. But you know, you really should be trying to look for ways to create something that really makes you different from your competition. Mm-hmm. And how do you really stand out and make an awesome experience? It doesn't have to be only customer service. Mm-hmm. That should always be good. But just the first time somebody learns about you, don't let them get confused. Mm-hmm. And it costs money. It does. And it's time.
It does. And actually, you kind of answered that. I was thinking what I wanted to ask you next was, so there's two different peoples on the spectrum, I'm guessing, the listener wise, right? I mean, in fact, you know, they probably fall on three different, really more scales. One is brand new. They're like thinking about, okay, like I'm just starting. I don't really have much money. I'm just starting. Or they have enough from their other business fueling things that we do. So when I started this Westchester Entrepreneur, I had money coming in from different business endeavors. So that helped, right? So I can take the long approach. And then the second one is someone that's like, okay, I got my first couple employees. I'm getting going. Then I'm scaling. Now this is really having legs behind it. I think it's a good time now to really redo our logo or website because it's kind of cheap or it's not there. And then you have the person that goes, hey, we are full-blown scale. Now we're just, you know, what's the next step for us to really take that? So I know there's three. I really wanted to do two, but I really think there's three. So for me, when I started my business, I just bought a theme. I spent $100 with this guy on Upwork from India, nicest guy in the world, and I got a website going, right? And I did some hosting from GoDaddy, whether it glitches, whether there's links that didn't work, absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's just something I wanted to get started. I want to see a proof of concept first. Then I spent thousands of dollars on our website. And it's not even perfect. We spent $1,000, spent like $1,400 a year just on hosting and a couple plugins.
Okay.
You know, and now we're taking, you know, so anyways, what are your thoughts on those three people that are just starting, middle range, and obviously our bigger platform? What are things that you see from your experience of working with so many different types of companies? I'm sure you've seen all three. What do you want to tell them? Like, stop doing this or start doing this, or, hey, don't forget when you go to this next step, you have to take care of this. Like,
oh,
spend the money here now. Like, what are your thoughts? Well,
sure. Obviously,
I know that's a lot. I'm
sorry. No. And like, obviously, like especially when we're talking about like your brand identity, like what you actually look like, right? What you sound like, what you feel like, all that stuff. You should always be driving to make sure that is ideal. And if you don't know what that stuff is, like, I get it. That's why you kind of talk to people like me or, you know, whatever, like other business owners can give you those tips. But the big thing is be very, very careful, especially if you already have this business and you already have like an audience and customer base. To even if you know that your logo is kind of inferior, a lot of people know that logo. So it's very dangerous to refresh your logo. And I'll warn people right now that there are creative people out there who don't care. They just want the money. I'm one of those people that's like, hold on a second. Why do we want to change that logo? Yes, this is not the best looking logo, but it means a lot to a lot of people. Look at the Dollar General logo or look at the Craigslist logo. These are not premium brands and they have all the money really to kind of go for it. They don't need to. Why would they? Because if they do, it might ruin it. We've seen this with Gap. They changed their logo for no reason. And they had to roll back to it, you know? So I try to make sure that people understand that you just can't go in and just because like, all right, we're doing good. We got money. Let's refresh our brand. And like, well, hold on a second. Let's slow down. Maybe we can update your logo and refresh it and not just make a whole new one and stuff like that. But definitely be careful when touching your brand. If you're brand new and you have nobody, well, then you have a little bit more luxury because nobody really knows it anyway, so that's okay. But I mean, people would take a lot. Like I brought up Nike earlier. If they change their logo, there are going to be people who are going to be mad. That logo means so much, and it's just a swoosh.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people love that logo. So many people, it means so much to them. And if you were to change that, I mean, it's...
Well, it's kind of like a jersey. I bought a jersey, and then all of a sudden, 6 months later, they totally updated new photo, new colors, everything. You're like, well, now mine's outdated.
Yeah, so that too. Yeah, so that could happen. Yeah, that could happen, and that's frustrating for people. I mean, one of the things that I think that might help people, there's this thing we like to call them style guides, and it really is just like a rule book for your brand. And it can scale with you. So let's say, all right, if you're new and you're like, I got a logo, I've got a photo of me and maybe like a photo of something else and that's it. But I need a website, I need marketing material, I need to do all these things. Okay, so you're going to find a team or you're going to, you know, make a team internally or something like that. What you're going to do is you're going to make a document that shows you, here's your logo, here's all the versions of your logo for all the different use cases, right? Because like on social media, it's always a circle, like your avatar, that image. Like, does your logo fit in a small little circle on a mobile phone? Make sure it does. And if you're gonna, if you know that you're gonna make billboards, like we see locally, we'll see like Geico has. Well, maybe Geico's a big brand, but Delta Sonic, right? Like Delta Sonic knows that their logo is gonna look like that on a billboard. So it's just understanding like the use cases and all that stuff of your assets. But yeah, you need to understand, what are my colors? What is the font that I'm using? What is the hierarchy? We call it typography for the fonts that are being used. And just kind of putting together this guide, so that way, if you're new, it'll scale with you, it'll grow with you. You onboard people, you can hand it off to them, say, hey, here's our colors and all this stuff. So next time you make a post on Facebook or in a newsletter, it all looks like us, right? And if you've been around for a while and you're kind of a mess, you're like, how do we clean up? Like, we've been kind of rocking and rolling for like 20 years, but we've never really cleaned up our act internally, and we spent a lot of time guessing what would work and all that stuff. How do I automate that? You know, and we talked about the wow factor and all that stuff, and like, how do I engage people and get people to stop? And it's like, well, that's really cool. But I think if you have these rules, designers love, you would think that we wouldn't, but we actually do. Give us the rules, the walls to the room, and we'll play in there very well and we'll be awesome, but we just need to know those things. So I think that having some kind of guide or documentation of your brand, I think will help you moving forward, be it new or old or whatever.
Yeah, this is what we stand for, this is what we are, this is what we're not. And then
yeah,
but you know, believe it or not, we're like almost out of time. So
oh yeah,
I have like one more question. In fact, if you don't like this question, totally ask yourself a question that you want to ask and then just answer.
Oh boy, okay.
Okay, so sure. My question is again, in a few minutes, what do you want to shout out to the business world locally here? Like, hey, I really want you to stop doing this or start doing this, or hey, you're really missing the boat on here. I know we're speaking in generalities here. There's 1.3 million people in the Buffalo stratosphere here, but I'm just sitting here going, like, sometimes you're like, I just see this so much. Like, can we just stop thinking this way? This is too old school. Or a new score. You, people think it's about this. It's not. And again, if that's a horrible question for you to answer, or that's not what you want to answer, ask a question and answer it.
No, it's man. I mean, you're asking a local designer to critique Western New York, an area that I want to help. I mean, this is the job. It's kind of hard to go in and sit down with a business owner and say they got an ugly kid. You know, it's not, nobody wants to do that. So you got to be very careful. It's like, hey, listen, I just want to give you the facts. I want people, especially if you're a legacy brand in Buffalo, and I've worked with some, I won't name any, but it drives me bonkers how they just have this attachment to what they've had. And they think that it worked, and like, yeah, but the world has changed. The world has changed so much in like 2 years. Let's go back 10 years, 20 years. So I'm saying right now that there are some brands out there that I think they need to kind of let go and evolve. It's okay. Again, I warned you, like, if you just go and change your logo on this, you might confuse people and they might have issues with it. Have a smart conversation with a marketing team of what you can and cannot do. But there are a lot of businesses in the area that I think you could do better. And I think you just need to kind of let go. And it's okay. We see a lot of brands refresh themselves and they look great. And I just think, I feel like you're doing a service to your target audience in 2021, because that's when we're recording this, that you're just saying, hey, listen, we've been around for like 30 years and we looked great for 30 years ago. We looked the part from 30 years ago, but now today, what do we got to do? And a lot of people are going through a digital transformation, getting themselves online and just making sure that that legacy brand can convert and work on social media, you know, on YouTube, on whatever, anything, just like your website, a mobile phone, like your logo. Look at your logo. Now look at your mobile phone. Look in the upper left corner where the logo usually goes. Can they read it? Does it look stupid or does it look professional? You know, so it's just having that honest conversation. Is like, you might have to touch some things you've never touched before and it might make you feel uncomfortable. And that's okay. It's okay to be uncomfortable. I think business owners know this. That's why they do it. I'm going to do something nobody's ever done before. That's why I'm going to do this. And it's going to be scary and it's going to be stressful, but same thing happens with your brand. So you just got to have a very intelligent, careful conversation with people and just watch for those who are just looking for the money.
Yeah, and I love it. I want to talk about this even more. Unfortunately, we're out of time. You know, one thing, last thing I'll say is, You know what you're saying. It reminds me of Domino's. Remember when they admitted they were going wrong?
I love that campaign. Dude,
I love it too. And I never order Domino's, so maybe they get my business out because I live in Buffalo, and Buffalo's the best pizza in my opinion. But I'm sitting here going, "We messed up. We've done wrong." And they even show like
sauce
their pizza
tastes like ketchup.
Yeah, like when they showed all the reviews, "We've done wrong. We Genius. Are getting we, that's it. We." And then they brought a whole new team in. You can tell that
that's
that was
creative.
Oh, it was creative. It was authentic.
Yeah.
That was good. And remember, they didn't change their logo. You know, no. If anything, they might refresh it, but it's the same logo. And I'm like, that was genius. You admitted you were wrong. It was authentic. It was okay to be imperfect. It's okay not to have it all together. 100%. But we're doing something. Like, people gravitated, and it totally saved them. Yeah. And I'm like, and I sit there and go, Pizza Hut hasn't done that. They've done the same thing for their, that's why they're, well, Buffalo, yeah. But they've really gone out.
Yeah.
You know, I noticed a lot of those people aren't willing to do that. Blockbuster, you know, I'm talking about all these things. And I'm like, man, they had such... Anyways, I'll stop there. So
I'm with
someone
you
on a
that.
Rant. I know
I'm
you're with me because it's so funny when you're talking about like the companies that you didn't want to name. You looked out the window as if they were going to pop out, right? Like,
I did.
I know, Brandon. It was funny.
Get them.
Right. Hey, Brandon, for those who just connect with you, they're like, yeah. Hey, man, I love where you're going with this. I need to fix this. Or I'd love to pick your brain or have that using your words, the intelligent conversation of like doing that. What's the best way for people to reach you, man? You can put out whatever information you want.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm definitely putting myself out there. Now that I'm out on my own. But Brandon Wilson Creative is the name of my business. I'm on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, literally type Brandon Wilson Creative. You will find me. I'm from Buffalo. I live in Buffalo. I've worked with Buffalo brands. Yeah, and you can go to my website, brandonwilsoncreative.com. I also have a podcast, not much the same, but like I, as a creative person, I work with a developer and a project manager, and we love video games, movies, and TV shows, and we like to talk about the production just because of our skill set. So we have a podcast called The Nomads of Fantasy, and I think it's an intelligent conversation about the production that goes into the things that we love, and that's all we really try to do with that one. So but yeah, other than that, I mean I'm always down to talk and meet with people. I think that's why like we connected, because I could tell you're an extrovert like me, and we love to kind of talk and meet intelligent people and have intelligent conversations. So yep, that's it. Brandon Wilson Creative, just look for me.
Yeah, man. Awesome. So make sure we got the name out there and the word out there, so that way if people want to contact you, they actually they have the ability to do so. But hey, man, I know you're really busy. I know you have a family. You know, life is crazy. So I just really appreciate your time.
Yeah, well, thanks. We also did this early in the morning, so it wasn't even an issue. So I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
If you loved listening to the Western New York Entrepreneurs Podcast and want more, subscribe to it and head on over to WNYEntrepreneur.com for articles, what's coming up next, and to get involved. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.